This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3646, from Monday, the 25th of July, 2022. Today's show is entitled, Arm Slackware Forth, Oh My. It is hosted by Brian in Ohio and is about 14 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is a description of a laptop.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. Brian in Ohio here. I'm out from under my rock, and I'm doing another show for HPR. This time, hopefully something of interest. It's a description of a laptop I purchased. So the laptop I've got in front of me, the one I'm recording on, is a Pytop 3. And so Pytop is a UK-based company. They're one of these places that are getting seed money, and they've raised about $24 million in funding, I think, but maybe more. They have three employees, and they produce some products, Pytop Seed, a Pytop 2 laptop, a Pytop 3, which is the one I have, and right now I think all they make is a Pytop 4, which is sort of a case and extra stuff to hold a Raspberry Pi 4, and that includes some kind of robotic kits stuff. I own right now a Pytop Seed, which is a sort of a it's a screen and some hardware to connect a Raspberry Pi 3 to, and it's got some experimenter stuff, and it's not a laptop, it's not portable though. And then I've had a Pytop 2, and Pytop 2 was a very wedge-shaped a laptop that had a keyboard, and you could tell the difference if you look for pictures. Pytop 2 has the trackpad off to the right, the Pytop 2, the keyboard was bad. That's definitely the reviews everybody would talk about, but the battery was worse. I killed my Pytop 2's battery in short order. It only accepted a few charges and then it died, and it was a problem. They did send me out some new batteries and did it again, so it was a problem, and kind of just disassembled that thing. And then the Pytop 3 came along, and it looked very interesting, different form factor. So I found one on eBay, and I bought it, and it's a 14-inch screen. It's it's got a keyboard. It's actually not too bad, better than the Pytop 2, and it's got the trackpad at the bottom. It's different in that the whole keyboard and trackpad are on sort of a sliding, like a drawer, and it opens up and it exposes the inside of the laptop, where to the left is the Raspberry Pi. There's a board that does all the charging and the interconnect between other external devices, and it actually has some USB ports on it. It also has the audio jack on it, and then there's a heatsink device that also acts as a flow through for all the GPIO pins. And my purchase came with a solderless breadboard that plugs into that middle board. And I'll have a picture in the show notes. There's a daughter board that I made that I'll talk about here in a little bit. Of course, I put Slackware on it, and actually, I've been wanting to do this show for a while, but Slackware has been was going through updates, and so I put Slackware 15 on the device, on the Pytop. But unfortunately, that's a 32-bit system, and there are things that, like Firefox, there's no regular graphical web browser for a 32-bit ARM right now. It doesn't seem like it, or at least I couldn't find anything that worked. But then a 64-bit version came out through the Slackware on ARM port of Slackware. And then it took a little while, but the Sarpy project, which is I've described earlier in another HBR, on putting Slackware on a Raspberry Pi. The SRP project finally updated to the 64-bit for the Raspberry Pi 3 and 4. And so I finally got that installed. So I'm running a 64-bit Slackware on this Pi 3. And some of the things that are pluses so putting Slackware on it, you lose some of the custom scripts that I think were written in Python to do things like get information out of that middle board, that power board, I would call it, on battery life and things like that. And so I needed a way to knowing if your battery needs to be charged or not is kind of an important thing for a laptop. So I came up with a solution for that. As far as for just a Slackware thing, I'm running Emacs as my window manager. It's a full X tiling window manager, and I'm in the Emacs environment. I can pull up graphical programs and buffers in Emacs. It works out pretty good. It seems to be a good way for me to be able to get X programs without having a huge desktop. And then because most of everything I do with this laptop is really on the command line, so it gives me a nice tool that I'm used to, which is Emacs, to do all that stuff. And so that's what I'm running. That's what I'm running right now on the device. As far as modifications, first off, I did, like I said, I put the Slackware on it, and so because of the loss of the battery monitoring, what I ended up doing was, on that experimenter board, the solderless breadboard, which is a board in the middle there, there's power where you can measure with a multimeter the voltage of the battery. The battery, it seems to be, is 3 lithium ion batteries, which would be probably about 11 volts when fully charged. And so what I did was I realized I could take access to those voltage readings, and if I could use a microcontroller to measure that over time, I could have it monitor and maybe flash an LED or something like that, or give me some kind of, and that's what I ended up doing, is flashing an LED to let me know that I need to plug in. And so I'd used a microcontroller running a fourth, of course, and wrote a few words and had to build a voltage divider to be able to measure the voltage safely with my microcontroller. So it's on a cron job. It powers up the little microcontroller once every few minutes, checks the voltage, and if it's within a certain range, if it's below a certain level, it flashes, turns an LED on, and it flashes, and it continues to flash until you either plug in or the battery dies, one or the other. And so that's my solution to the battery level problem. The other thing that's nice to have is a real-time clock on a laptop, because sometimes you'll power up and you may not have Wi-Fi access, but you want the date to be current if you're just going to do something without being on the internet. And so I've got a real-time clock module. The instructions for setting that up are actually on the SRP project website. And so it's just a DS1307 real-time clock. They're pretty cheap little devices you can get from on eBay also. And it's wired into the GPIO pins, and it talks to the Raspberry Pi directly. I communicate to the chip, the fourth chip, via the built-in UARTs that are on the Raspberry Pi. It's comes out as /dev/ttys0. You have to enable that in the config.txt in the bootloader, or in the boot file on the system. And you just you enable that, and then you have access that's connected directly to the fourth machine, and then I can use Minicom or any other. I don't have to use Minicom anymore. I can use the built-in serial terminal on Emacs, and I can talk directly to the fourth operating system that's running on the microcontroller, And so so I have access to that microcontroller directly through the laptop. And so if I need to modify it, I can do it. Or if I want to just play around with Forth, I can try words and try different things and mess around and see if things work. If I want to play around with Forth, who wouldn't want to do that? So the pluses for this PiTop 3 are it definitely has a better keyboard, and the design of the whole device is better. The mechanical design, the sliding keyboard, like a drawer thing, makes access super nice and easy to anything that you've put in here. It definitely has better battery life, and the battery charging has been working great. I haven't had any problems, and the screen is really good. It's a 14-inch screen, and it's actually really pretty nice. I'm probably one of the better laptop screens I've ever had, so that's kind of cool. The minuses are for the device is that that middle charging board that's kind of the heart of the device. It seems to be closed source. I can't find any schematics for it or anything. It's definitely, maybe they're out there, maybe I haven't looked hard enough, but it's definitely the secret sauce to this whole machine, and it doesn't seem like PiTop is interested in, they're interested in getting what they can out of the maker movement, but they're not really interested in being open source and moving things forward. The other downside is the old software is hard to find, and it would be nice to be able to find those Python scripts, because maybe you could directly put those on Slackware and directly talk to that daughter board. I'll still have to look around. Maybe that's available too. And the other probably really downside is that the device is tied to our Raspberry Pi 3 form factor. The change in the form factor to the Raspberry Pi 4 makes it impossible to use any of this hardware in this laptop. It's stuck at the Raspberry Pi 3 level, is what it boils down to. That's the risk you take when you stick yourself to some other company's device, right? They could change tomorrow and your game is over. Plans moving forward. I'm really thinking about maybe leaving the Raspberry Pi altogether and going to a Pine board. I believe there's a Pine board that has the same form factor as a Raspberry Pi 3, and I'm wondering if that would just be a plug-in replacement to this device. If not, maybe it would be just better to take something like a Pine board and just re-engineering that board and just use the empty laptop as a place to put things and put them where they fit best with a new board. Could possibly reverse engineer the charging board. I don't know. I don't know how hard that would be or if it'd be worth the time. It's probably easier to modify the case than to accept new hardware than it would be to reverse engineer that thing. Anyway, PiTop 3, cool little device. Another ARM laptop that's not Chromebook based. It's been working fine. It does everything I need to do with a laptop, but I'm not a developer or I don't do any 4K editing or anything like that. But it surfs the internet. It does my email. And it's got a great battery life, and it looks cool. It's got a lime green color, so it stands out. Definitely different than everything else out there. I guess that about finishes it. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or comments, record a show or ask a question directly or via comment on the show. This is Brian in Ohio signing off, reminding everybody that speed doesn't kill, it's the rapid dissipation of speed that kills. Goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com.
the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.